Great to see you tonight. What an afternoon. I think when we left our group meeting at the Van Fleets, the thermometer in my car at least had 68 degrees. And I mean, it was a t-shirt afternoon. And just pretty neat after all the rain we recently had. And a little teaser. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 10, "Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this." It seems that times are never satisfied with time. Some of us, time goes too quickly. Why does time go so fast? My life is just racing by. How did the kids grow up that fast? If you're younger, sometimes time doesn't go fast enough for you. I can't wait until my birthday, or I can't wait until this event, or I can't wait until that event. It just seems that we're never comfortable with time. And sometimes days can be both fast and slow at the same time. Often when I will go on vacation, I realize that when I get on a plane or get in the car, I will say, "Mark, it will be like that, and you'll be turning around and coming back home." And it just seems like that before you know it, this 2 weeks is going to be over and you're going to be back to where you started. And then sometimes as you get older, you will say things like, "Life was simpler back then. Life was not as complicated back then. Life seemed easier and more carefree back then." There also, when it comes to time, is to want everything to remain the same, that nothing ever changes. Maybe you've caught yourself thinking at a certain time in your life, "This is good now. This is good now. Why does anything have to change? Why does anyone have to grow older? Why does anyone have to die? Why can't it just kind of stay like this now for a long time?" Sometimes you'll feel that way in the summer, about 7 o'clock on a sunny evening, and it's a perfect temperature, perfect time of night, and you're thinking like, "Why can't it just kind of remain 7 o'clock for about the next 12 hours and just stay like this? This is good." In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever." You see the passage of time in a lot of different things. I know many of you know I like to eat. And sometimes I see the passage of time in restaurants that come and go. In my lifetime, when I was down in Salem, there were restaurants that I missed that are not down there now. Chelsea's was a neat restaurant. Los Chili's was an excellent Mexican restaurant that is now gone. Whale Cove Inn on the Oregon coast, just south of Depot Bay, had like the best clam chowder that I ever had. The Primary Riverside in Salem. Mozzie's in Salem, and had a location here in Portland as well. Oregon Live every year, the Oregonian, their website, Oregon Live, puts a list of restaurants that have closed down this year, or restaurants that people still wish were in the area. Restaurants like the Crab Bowl that used to be up on Barber Boulevard, the Oregon Grinder, not for its pizza, but just for the interesting ambiance of a restaurant that basically all of it was a massive organ that a person was playing. Rose's Deli, the Veritable Quandary, the Alexis downtown, a Greek restaurant. Farrell's Ice Cream Parlors, where many of us when we were younger had our birthdays. Henry Ford's, the London Grill, Machismo Mouse, Old Wives' Tales, Poor Richard's, Uncle Chen's, which I think is the first restaurant in Portland that had Szechuan food instead of the Cantonese Chinese food. Trader Vic's, Waddle's, Yaw's Top Notch. And then this last year, the Rhinelander would have been around so long on Sandy closed down. Oba, which was one of the first restaurants in the Pearl to open up. Pazzo's, which was a fixture for 25 years in downtown Portland. And the Overlook restaurant, which many say was the last true Greek diner in the Portland area, where you could get breakfast, American food, and Greek food all at the same time. I read an article that said, I heard a finance counselor on the radio tell a caller that he should pay off his debts first and then think about going on vacation. The question is, do I go to Europe or do I pay off my debts? And a financial counselor says, pay off your debts because Europe will always be there. Good advice, but not completely accurate. Because Europe will not always be there. Europe next year will be a little different than Europe this year. It will not be exactly the same. Because the reality is that in 1 year's time, nothing remains the same. And neither will we be the same. Here we are, almost 1 month into the new year. We're almost at the end of January, 11 left to go. And you may not want to think about next year, but in this lesson, I want you to think about next year. A year from now, you will not be the exact same person that you are tonight. There will be something different about you. You will be either a better person or a little bit worse person. Things will happen that you cannot help, and things will happen that you can help. Robert Frost spoke of two roads diverging in a yellow wood that made all the difference. And Jesus spoke of two roads in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and in verses 13 through 14. He spoke of two paths. And there it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. But even on those roads, there are sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of little side paths, particularly on the Broadway, that can divert our attention. And ever-increasing choices and decisions that need to be made. And next year, this time, we will either be more and more like ourselves, or we will either be more and more like Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18, there's a beautiful passage. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. In the parable of the sower that you know very well in the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 11, there it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. And hold it fast and bring forth fruit with perseverance. What struck me was that every soil in that parable is in a state of change. None of those soils necessarily are stagnant. You might say, wait a minute, the hard ground. Well, I would say no, the hard ground is even in a state of change. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, because the hard ground is only going to become harder if a person doesn't move to God. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 22. Then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Or the passage such as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Evil men and imposters will grow from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And those are two passages that I would say that even the hard ground is changing. It is simply becoming more corrupt. It is simply becoming more resistant to truth. Because in 2 Timothy 3:13 it says, evil men and imposters will go from deceiving to being deceived. And I think there's a good lesson there for us, is that I make an excuse. Sounds good to me. Salves my conscience right now. But a year from now, maybe, I believe it. What started out as a diversion, what started out as an excuse, a way to kind of divert my attention, a way not to feel so bad about what I'd done, a year later now, is truth and gospel in my mind. That's the truth. And so the lie I started telling, now I start believing that lie. We have the individual who believes with joy, but when persecution or opposition comes, they fall away. That's change. The soil that has the continual invasion of weeds and thistles and thorns, the ongoing choking process, choked a little more each year. Well, we'll look at Judas. He starts out pilfering, John 12. He then complains about a precious oil that was put on Jesus. And then eventually find him betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then we find him hanging himself, that progression. And yet the good heart is always in a state of change. The language that the good heart bears fruit with perseverance means that the good heart is not stagnant. The good heart continues to grow, improve itself, mature. No one stays the same year in and year out. A year from now, I will not be the same person I am tonight. There will be something different about me. Hopefully, I will be a little bit more stronger a year from now. But where do I want to be a year from now, and where do you want to be next year this time? We should not want to stay with the same. We should long for improvement in our own lives and growth. A year from now, I want to have more wisdom. I want to have better answers. I think now for some things I have good answers, but I want to have the best answer from God's Word. I want to have more wisdom. A year from now, a deeper prayer life. A year from now, even closer to God. A year from now, more time for God. A year from now, deeper friendships with God's people. A year from now, sharing the gospel even more. More eager, talking more. A year from now, stronger, able to resist temptation with far more success and consistency. A year now, having more knowledge of God's Word and more knowledge about things that really matter. And so we have a passage like 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 5, when it talks about that for this very reason also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, in your godliness brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and I think the reality is that we always have qualities that are increasing, but they're either the fruit of the Spirit that's increasing or the works of the flesh that are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as you practice these things, you will never stumble. A year from now, want to have each one of those in greater degree. As we ended this morning's lesson, we talked about that as a Christian, when I enter a room, and I've seen this in other scenarios, you probably know people that when they enter a room, you might say, uh-oh, bitterness just entered the room, or anger just entered. I know people like that that I could probably say anger just showed up. Discouragement just showed up. Lust just showed up. There was a time in my life that if I would have entered a room, lust and gluttony has just shown up in the room this afternoon. And we don't want to be that. We want to be that when we enter a room, that as you look at this list, that you can say, faith just entered the room. Diligence just entered the room. Self-control just entered the room. Virtue just entered the room. Godliness just entered the room. Perseverance entered the room. Brotherly kindness just entered. Love just entered the room. When I live my life in such a way that when I enter a room that someone could say, those are the things that just entered the room when I showed up. And hopefully we can all strive as Christians to be a person like that. There may be one here tonight that has not yet started the path of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It's a beautiful path. I would highly recommend it. It ends in a wonderful place, verse 11. The entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to a person that walks that path. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let's be standing and singing the invitation songs. From your word and a sin, there's power in the blood.